Hello, well, this is Blonde Haired Girl. I wanted to give you some updates on the past week in this experiment of dealing with my workplace change. So I've been on the other side for about a week now, over a week, and I can tell you one thing that I think is very interesting is that every single night is like Groundhog Night and I am dreaming about work. Every night I am dreaming about work, this job. So the things that have been really challenging for me. One of the things is my complete lack of privacy. Everybody can hear everything. So like when you're on the phone with someone, everybody is listening. You can't help it. You are within feet of each other. Like you can't even, I mean, I'm trying to actively not listen to people, you know, because I'm trying to focus on what I'm doing and I'm still, you know, hearing, you know, so I have some idea of what's happening. And so that has been challenging. It's been the fact that I have lost my privacy. I used to be able to like shut the door and have conversations because I can be a little bit awkward on the phone. I'm willing to admit that. I leave messages sometimes that are a little bit obscure purposefully for HIPAA laws. I'm trying to not share a person's name or necessarily too many details about who I am or where I'm calling from, but enough for them to know and my number for them to call me back. And so that part has been really challenging. And so in the last week I've sought out the employee assistance program that I get through my job. And that was one of the phone calls that I was trying to make yesterday that I didn't want everyone in the room to be able to hear that this job is stressing me out and I need help. So I was having to leave the room to have the phone call. And I didn't realize my level of being stressed out until I got into the other room and I was sitting there and everything, not everything, I'm doing that thing, you know, that we do, but some things are very challenging for a person who is in my level of stress. And I'm talking to this person who wants me to like plug into some portal to get like these documents, and I have to do some insurance thing, and I say to her, "Is this going to be easy?" Because like people in my state of mind right now, they need it to be easy to access these things. And I was almost like in tears. I was like, I cannot have another thing that I have to work to get access to mental health care. It was very interesting. So I got the emails that she was asking for, and in the interim, I went to my insurance provider and I have I don't know if it's virtual or it's in person. I really don't know, but I'm meeting with somebody next week, for some kind of intake visit, for counseling visits. But when I got the emails that this other provider had sent me, and I tried to open them last night, I was just like, I mean, the insurance that would be providing this is not on her list of insurances. And I already told her that it's not even an option. So like I can't access that. And then the portal thing, I have to have a password that has to have all these symbols, and it has to be 10 letters, 10 things long. And I just can't with this. I can't. Like, it's like, what do they call it? The bandwidth. I don't have the mental capacity to do this right now. I hate all of these stupid passwords on every freaking thing. I really hate it in general. I'm an older person. I can't keep track of all that. I have to write notes about everything. You know, when they ask me to change my password, I'm like, oh, crap. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't. And that was happening where I would have had to have kind of, you know, and I just abandoned the task. I'm like, screw it. I just can't right now. I can't. And I knew, I had a feeling when she talked about some obscure portal that was going to happen, that there was no way I was going to be able to put this together. I just can't. And then, like, I'm reading like the terms of service, you know, it's like you got to be kidding me. None of this is in like a paper form. It's like on this, you know, and I'm looking at it on my cell phone. I'm like, I just can't. I don't understand why, when you're dealing with people who are having trouble thinking straight, you would expect them to be able to navigate. It's like you put up obstacles for them, and I just don't get it. That's my plug-in for that today. But I realized how shaky I am, like almost on the verge of tears about all the time. So I have somebody in my life who has been checking in on me every day. And like, I can say that yesterday was incredibly challenging for me. Sitting in the cubicle with everyone with so much energy, there's just so much going on all the time. Even though people are trying to work, and then there are times where people are just laughing and telling jokes, and I'm really focused because I have all these deadlines. I'm trying to do court. So I'm basically writing up legal briefs. And these briefs are really stressing me out. And there's going to be a lot of them at the job I'm at right now. There's going to be briefs all the time. I'm going to be writing briefs every week, probably 3 briefs a week at least, legal documents. Because the idea of involuntarily detaining people is important to the court, and I understand that to a degree. I understand that. I think that there may have been times in history, or maybe even places now, where people who should not be detained are detained. People who should not be involuntarily detained are detained. But I'm just not seeing that at all as a trend in the place I'm working. Not even in the slightest degree. In fact, I mean, there are a number of times where it would be a lot better for the health of everyone, if this person wasn't there because of their level of behaviors that are unhealthy for everyone. But anyway, it's no small thing, I suppose, to take away someone's freedom and involuntarily detain them. So these briefs have to be written in a certain way. And I am struggling I don't know why it is such a struggle for me. I've been at this for about, I don't know, I would say at least 6 months. I've been writing these with supervision. I mean, I've never done a single one on my own. And the reason why they are so picky about it is because they have had situations, they've been testifying, and these are the questions that the judge and the lawyer are asking. And one of the things that they ask is, what would happen if this person was released? Was like, not released, but discharged. What would happen if this person were discharged right in this moment? And I could describe that. I could describe that, but it's a little bit in hypotheticals. But anyway, so I was sitting there and all of my insecurities, all of my everything is just right there in front of me. I can feel it. I can see it. I don't know if my teammates are feeling it, but I am really unhappy. I'm unhappy they keep saying that this change is just temporary, but I don't know if it actually is. I don't believe that it is. Even though I think that this job is clearly not the best place for me to be, and that seems pretty obvious. And maybe they would move me back, but I don't even know how I'm going to do moving back, having had my life, my work life so shaken up by this. It was like, if you wanted to exacerbate my, all of these workplace traumas, all together, it's like I am just one exposed wound. I'm really not doing well. I'm not. And so I'm going to all of my self-help to get me through. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, if I create my reality, why would I create this? And one of the things that I can think of is to finally get me through all of this, to look at it, to be with it, to burn this out, to cauterize it, this wound, so that I can get past it and be free from this. I'm going to go back just a tiny bit for just a minute here, because I think it's important for me to share that I was reminded yesterday that in this summer, about May of 2018, I had a full-on nervous breakdown. It was a full-on implosion of my life. And part of that was a job. And I still am not really understanding what happened with the job, but I'm really attempting to move past it, because I think that it is really limiting my ability, my joy in my life. But this was reminding me of that. And at the time, I was really having a hard time, partly because I was taking two master level courses. I had a lot going on at work. I had a lot going on in a relationship that I was in. I mean, it was, and that is feeling very much like this. Like, I can feel the similarity between that and the similarity between this, and that I feel like I don't want to break. I don't want to break. It's like I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't have to do that again. My life doesn't have to completely fall apart again. You know, I'm in a different place. I have different strategies to help me now. And what are those strategies? You know, I'm a different person. I'm a completely different person than I was in 2018. And so what do I do? Okay, so what am I doing? And I really wanted to talk about that. What I'm doing, there's a few things. Firstly, I'm trying to focus on what it is that I do want rather than what I don't want. And so what I really do want is to be able to allow money to come into my life in different ways. To just the allowance of money in different ways to come to me, you know, through my writing, through if I'm speaking gigs, through other avenues in my life for money to flow to me so that I don't have to do this anymore. Not necessarily that I had to do this, but it was one way, which is pretty much the only way that I have been considering for an income, because that's how I grew up. You need an income, you go get a job. And so I'm attempting to change a complete paradigm, like core beliefs within me, that is possible that I can make a living without a job. So that's the first thing I'm doing. I haven't quite gotten a hold of my self-talk while I'm at the job. I'm really thrown into my work, and what's happening right at the moment is these briefs are taking an exorbitant amount of time and other things are just going to the wayside, like progress notes, treatment plan reviews, and assessments that I'm supposed to be doing that I may be able to do this afternoon, but I have not been able to get other parts of my job done because this part takes precedence over everything. And so a lot of times truly just like sitting and like at my computer screen, very focused on writing these briefs. And they don't call them a brief. They just call it court documentation. But I happen to know that it's like a legal brief. But my self-talk, and normally I would change my self-talk, like, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I'm going to get through this. I will get to the other side of this. I've gone through hard things before and I can go through this. I'm going to get through this. But I started this thing that I think is really cool. So the other day I come across my feed, this person had talked about like super successful people, you know, monetarily successful people. This is a strategy that they do. So I started working on it. And I started doing it. And I've been doing it every day. Yesterday, I didn't have the time to actually write it down, but you know, I will today, but I had been writing it down. And the first thing is to write 10 things that you're grateful for. So I just write 10 things I'm grateful for. That's pretty easy for me. And then write about a person or situation that is less than perfect. Like to think about a person that is less than perfect, and then send them love and forgiveness. Just letting them go in love and forgiveness. And then it says to think about the people in your life who are helping to like sustain. These are your go-to people. These are the people who basically keep you going and keep you alive. And that's easy for me too. So I write that down. And then it says, what are the emotions that you want to feel today? You know, it's like, I want to feel confident. I want to feel valued. I want to feel loving. I want to feel optimistic. I want to feel, you know, writing down all these emotions that I want to feel today. And then the last thing is thinking about a time in my life where that was just one of those like moments, like giving you an example. I'll never, ever forget the moment when I opened up my emails and I had been accepted to speak at the IANS, it's the international, God, I can't think of it right now, but for near-death experiences, where I had been accepted to speak, my RFP, my request for proposal had been accepted, and I was going to be going to Washington, D.C., and I cannot describe what that felt like. In the culmination of the amount of work that I had put into that point and to have been accepted was just amazing. It was truly amazing. It was this just ecstatic moment for me. And so I conjure up that. And then there are other memories that I just sit, you know, and it actually suggests just kind of being with that. And so I've been doing that, and I'm going to keep doing it. I think something that we do as humans, just as being people, we have this habit of trying something, and when it doesn't work, like the first time, or if it doesn't work in the first week, or it doesn't work in the second week, or it doesn't work in the third week, or whatever, if we do not see instant results, we just abandon it. We have this habit of doing this. I know that we do. We abandon it, or we, you know, we need reinforcement for these things. We just need that reinforcement. It's like, I need, and I, and so I realize that it may take a little bit for me to actually see the results of this. So I'm going to keep doing it. I mean, I have journals and journals and journals and journals. I did things like every day, every day, every day. Because there was something that I learned years ago that I was not doing well. This was a while back. And I was in a really bad place. And I wanted to feel better so badly. And it took so long for me to come back. It took so long for me to come back. And it was so discouraging to not feel better sooner. And I put all of these practices in, and one of them was for me to really pay attention and focus on those moments that I felt even slightly better. And to like milk that for all I could get out of it, like you do like the juice of a citrus fruit, like a orange. Like you're sitting there and you're squeezing all the orange out. I would squeeze all of the betterment of that moment and really kind of bask in it and just like, oh God, I can't believe it, but I feel 2% better today. And so what I want to say is that I noticed that tonight, this last night, and I'm going to try to go back to sleep, but this night was better than last night or a couple nights ago. They're starting to kind of run together, but I have also been exceedingly worried about the state of the world. I'm laughing because it sounds so weird. You know, it's like I'm concerned about my own little world here, but I'm also concerned about the state of the world. And like, where the United States is bombing Yemen and there's talk of Iran and Russia and wars, and I'm just sitting here as this, like, what I consider to try my best to be this ambassador of peace in the world, you know, and my overall efforts to be toward peace in the world, you know, and trying to have peace in my own life when I'm feeling all of this angst, and I'm not feeling peaceful inside of myself at all right now. Well, I can't say at all. I can't say it all because I know that there is this core of me that is at peace. But I mean, but I'm disappointed that we can't get along better with our differences. Like, I don't understand on the world scale, like in this year, why, like, it feels so barbaric to me. So primal and so like these, like, I just don't even know. It's like not being the higher self, being the lower self in these, just acting on greed and not acting on our higher thoughts, you know. But I have to say, interestingly enough, I saw this little something, and supposedly, and this is so much of what's going on is not being broadcast. Like every little tiny thing is about Donald Trump. All of the media is about Donald Trump, for better or worse. That's all they talk about. They're not even really talking that much about the war in Israel and Gaza and the West Bank. They're not even really talking about the fact that it's now up to 30,000 people are dead, mostly children and women. 30,000 people out of 1.8 million. But the 1.8 million are facing starvation and they don't have a place to live because Gaza is in rumbles. It's just dire. But anyway, I saw this little excerpt on the fact that the people in Israel are calling for the resignation and a new election. They're trying to kick out Netanyahu. I don't know how to say his name. They're really trying to kick him out of power and get someone else in. I don't know why we're not, this is not being widely, it would just be so amazing if that were able to happen. And they had somebody else who was actually in integrity. Because Netanyahu is not in integrity. And I think this whole thing has been just to take their land. They just don't want them there. And instead of, I don't know what you can do. I don't know what the necessarily the solution is, but it's been atrocity after atrocity. But anyway, so I guess this has been weighing on me as well. And the other night, I just really didn't sleep well at all. I just feel the weight of, I guess, the world on my chest. But anyway, I'm really trying. It doesn't sound like it, but I am. To just get through this, and get to the other side. And I'm not even sure exactly what the other side is. I guess having better days, feeling more confident, actually feeling more confident, writing one of these briefs that doesn't need to be edited. That would be nice. That my team could depend on me to be able to write a brief the way they want it written and get it signed. That I would be able to like actually get through my day and get my work done. I was on the behind the eight ball on the other side of the hospital, and I'm even worse on this side. I mean, it's like warp speed worse. I just don't know how I don't know how they catch up. I thought it was interesting, like a few months ago, they got this edit, they were edited, and one of the things that the editors found was that there weren't enough clinical progress notes and these treatment plan reviews done. And I went to my supervisor because I was like, okay, so, like, because I feel like I'm getting them done. I was getting them done on the other side. And so I full on ask her. I said, so because the court work has to take precedence over everything. It has to take precedence over everything. So, how did they get other stuff done? And, so one way that they get other stuff done is we have these interns. We have interns that work for us. And we've been asking the interns to go do some of this work. And I was thinking about how I was somewhat reluctant to do that in the sense that when I go out and I do a little bit of interviewing with this person, I'm developing rapport. And what's happening is that when we're having this other person go out and do it, then they're developing rapport. And I don't know how you get back from that. And I don't mean any disrespect to the intern, but as their clinician, as their social worker or whatever. You know, I guess I just have to remind myself that I'm not actually doing therapy. I'm really not doing therapy with my clients here. I guess I'm just merely doing paperwork. It's a whole new world. Anyway, I'm really starting to ramble and, and have exhaustion. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update. I guess I don't know. Is that do I have good news or bad news? I'm just in it. I'm still in the storm. It hasn't passed yet. I'm still feeling it pretty heavy. So, but I'll keep going and I'll keep letting you know. I appreciate you listening, and I'll be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.